I want to share a really cool story with you about, it'll highlight and remind us what we're all about. You know, as Greg was praying and asking and reminding you to invite your friends to The Rock, I just want to underscore again, first of all, that The Rock on Saturday night, The Rock, and this is part of The Rock. Access is just what we call this meeting. This is a gathering of rock people right here, okay? But The Rock on Saturday night is for you to bring unsaved, lost people there. However you want to put it. Seekers, lost, non-believers, non-Christian, whatever you want to call them. Now, there's a lot of people that may go to church, that grew up going to church, that think they're a Christian and they're not. You don't need to tell them that. If you're pretty sure they don't know Christ, just bring them. They might have had a Lutheran background, a Catholic background, a Methodist background, a Baptist background, a nothing background. But if you're fairly certain they don't know the Lord, try to bring them first. Please invite them before you invite all your Christian friends. And I'm really, really serious about that. What we want to do, what we're trying to do at The Rock, is not steal, if I can use that word, the flocks of other believers in this city, of other pastors. We're not. We are after, literally, the tens of thousands of 18 to 25-year-olds in this city who do not know Christ, who are disillusioned about God, disillusioned about life, have given up on the church, or whatever. That's what The Rock is for. So please remember that. I know a number of you here, maybe you go to Bible college or you got a bunch of friends from your youth group, etc. And I just want you to know, we love all people. We care about them. But The Rock is specifically designed as almost a crusade to bring lost friends to. Now, if your friend is genuinely looking for a church and they know the Lord, then fine. That's fine. But do not try to take them from a church that they're really involved with and they like it. Don't bring them. Okay? Don't bring them. We are trying to get the gospel to people. And there's plenty for everybody. And if all churches, quite frankly, if we were trying to get the gospel to people, why, my goodness, we'd probably reach this city in not too great a time. Probably a year or two. If we were bent on getting the gospel to people. And that's what Saturday's for. Some of you maybe have wondered why we do the music that we do. We always mix secular with sacred, if you want to call it that, or secular cover tunes with a time of singing and worship. We do that for a reason. We do that to build a bridge to people who come to church. I don't know if you remember what it was like when you first came to church, but or someone invited you to something that was kind of strange and you weren't kind of sure what was there. And so I want to just cover this with you a little bit. Always put yourself in the shoes of the person you invited. Don't think of it like, well, I'm used to this. Like, for example, this is why at The Rock on Saturday, I don't say, okay, guys, bring the lights up. Okay, we want to give a special welcome to all those who are new here tonight. And so, will you just stand up? And I just want to go around and have you introduce yourself. Okay, now that would be really ignorant, wouldn't it? I mean, how many would you like me to even do that here tonight? And this is for those, Access is designed for people who already know the Lord to take you deeper in your faith. We wouldn't want to do that here, let alone if you've come to this place for the first time, you don't know what to expect, and you walk in the room and you're kind of nervous. I had a friend, he will probably soon be one of our new pastors at Evergreen, but he came, when Greg came to our, it was called New Life then, his name is Chris, and Chris, someone invited him to come to our church. Finally, after about 2 months, Chris came. And you know what happened? He drove around the parking lot. Well, first, before he came, he threw up. 6 times. He was so nervous. He was so fearful of what might happen to him. So that's the first thing. And then he just drove around the parking lot, and finally he came in. About 2 weeks later, he came to Christ, and the Lord has turned his life upside down. God gave him a fantastic wife. They've since adopted 4 or 5 children from all different parts of the world, and he'll probably go and help plant our new inner city church that's scheduled for 2002 of January. So there's an awful lot, you know, that we know what we're doing. Okay, I want you to know that. Secondly, the reason you don't hear people at The Rock going, "Amen! Come on, Mark, preach it, hallelujah! Raise your hand to Jesus," you know, is we don't do that for a reason. Okay, now if you come from a charismatic background and you want to sit in your seat going, "Amen, hallelujah," hallelujah. You go right ahead and do that. But don't do it out loud. Okay? And don't jump up. I want a prophecy, Mark. Please don't do that. You will freak out our clients. Okay? Okay? They are our clients. We are trying to win them to Christ, not freak them out. All right? And I say that as gently as I can. I want you to understand our strategy. I also want to mention, please be careful. When you're sitting in the auditorium, turn off your cell phones. Okay? If you're the kind of person, and I want you to know I'm this kind of person. If you haven't guessed this already, some of you probably think Mark is just hyper. I have never in my entire life been able to sit still. I still can't. When I was a little child, I got in trouble in school for always going like this. All the time. Today, no matter what meeting I go to, I would never, ever, 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 ever sit in the front. When I go to a movie theater, I sit in the farthest seat away. I sit in the seat closest to the door. Why? Because I get up and move around. Do you know why I do that? Out of consideration for others. If I'm in the front and I'm fidgeting and I'm getting up and I'm getting down and I'm getting up and getting down, you know what that's going to do to people around me who are trying to hear the gospel, who I'm trying to invite to come to Christ? They're going to go, what in the world is going on with this or that person? Okay? So please always think of others. Think, okay, I'm a mover, so I'm going to stand back here in these empty seats. Pace. Yeah, Mark, okay. Yeah, say that's fine. But don't do it in the first row, the second row, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, or ninth, or tenth. Go back to the 50th row. And you have a whole row to yourself. You know, if you got a bad back, you want to lay on the floor, just go back, lay on the floor. No, that's okay. That's really okay. All right? I guess I said cell phones. If you got beepers, turn them off. And then afterwards when you're out in the rock hallway, be careful you don't walk up to somebody. How you doing, brother? Praise Jesus. Isn't it great to know the Lord? Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. Remember that on Saturday night, the primary purpose of that meeting is to extend friendship and love and kindness to new people. So try, in the first 10 or 15 minutes, you're down in the Rock Cafe, I guess that's what they call it now, downstairs, to go up and find somebody you've never seen before, unless you're new yourself. Then we'll find you. And just walk up and greet somebody. Say, hey, what's your name? You know, is this your first time here? Well, my name's Mark, and it's great to have you here tonight. And make some conversation. If you see people out in the hall and they're not really, maybe they don't know about refreshments, like, oh, I'm going to try to remember. Sometimes I get so caught up in my message, I forget at the end, and sometimes it seems awkward to say, hey, join us if you like afterwards, right downstairs immediately. By the way, Greg, while I'm thinking on my feet here, I remembered this. When we walk out down, you know, towards those exit signs, you know the sign that says restrooms? Please put some new signs that say refreshments downstairs so people can see immediately when you look down that hall on each in that there are refreshments. Because I noticed that when I walked out in the hall, a lot of times you'd have no idea that it's downstairs. But invite somebody. If you see somebody, say, hey, you guys, you want to come downstairs? We got a lot of food down there. And people really like it. A lot of people hang out and they get to know people. And that's the goal. All right? Then here's another thing for you small group people. The crowd is your fishing pool. That what we do at the Rock is stock our own pond with fish. That's what we do. We fill it with guppies for you to fish in. Okay, so when you come to the Rock afterwards, and you start to talk to someone, and if you have room in your small group, invite them. Say, hey, you know, we have this meeting, like about 10, 20 of us, we get together once a week, we meet in homes, we have food, we kind of talk a little bit about God, we kind of talk about what's going on in our lives. If you'd like to come, well, I'd love to have you. Feel free to do that. Don't, you know, like freak them out, and don't be overpowering about it, and maybe you may not feel natural doing that the first time. But please, you folks here that are coming on Tuesday night, we want you to know you're the labor corps workers right here. We consider you our comrades. And it is your responsibility to get to know new people. Reach out to them. Maybe say, hey, you want to exchange phone numbers? They'll give you a call this week. Maybe we'll go out to lunch. I'm doing that all the time. Greg's doing that. But we want you to do that. Of course, don't do it with 10 people. Don't overcommit yourself. Or maybe you can tell a person when they leave, hey, I'll look for you next week if you'd like to sit together. I'll sit with you. Am I making sense? Are you following me here? Okay? Let me take... Thank you. There we go. Okay. Right on, man. Cool. All right. Also, I want to share a little story with you that illustrates how easy it is to share the gospel if one thing happens, if we have the courage to do so. I have a young son. He's 11. And we moved into this house we live in Eagan. It's the first time we've actually lived in a typical neighborhood in our whole lives. It's the first time there's other children in the neighborhood. I, for a long time, frankly, didn't want that in my life or need that because I have so many people at Evergreen that I'm trying to meet. I just kind of wanted a place where there was nobody else around. So there's a bunch of retired people that lived around us. So we never worried about getting to know our neighbors because we had enough neighbors in Evergreen to get to know. So as soon as we move into this house, it's a twin home, so someone else lives in the, it's connected to our house, they live on the other side. And it's a single mom from Vietnam and her three children. And, we've been getting to know them. We've been reaching out to them, trying to serve them in a variety of ways, whether it's took her son to school one day, got up late, her battery died, I went and got her battery and put it in. And my daughter cuts their hair, her boy's hair, for nothing. And so they've really taken a liking to my family. And Micah, in particular, has really begun building a friendship with Peter. Peter's 15, and he's in high school. But they're almost the same size. And Micah, if you're around him long enough, you wouldn't really know he's 11. So Mike and the first day, actually, they met, and they just started playing out in the yard and running around with their dog. They have a dog named Snoopy. Mike and Peter get into a conversation about God. Now, Peter's a devout Catholic, and they're ultra devout. They went to a conference for the Mother Mary for a week in Missouri, and that's about as devout as anyone I've ever heard in Catholicism. And they're very dear. They're just really dear to us. So we've been praying for their family. They may know the Lord. They may not. We don't know that for sure. So Peter would always sort of jokingly tell Micah, don't try to convert me to religion and stuff. But I want to play with you. I want to be your friend. So they do scooters together and they play Nintendo together and they ride bikes together and et cetera. So about 3 weeks ago, we were here at Access Mike invited Peter over to play Mario Brothers, some new game he rented from the Blockbuster. And Kathy was just going to work out, so they were going to be the only two home. And just as Kathy was getting ready to back out, this is what I found out when I got home. Micah runs upstairs really fast. He goes, Mom, have you got one of those four law booklets, that Peace with God booklet thing about God? Kathy goes, well, yeah. He goes, Peter said he'd go through it with me, and I want to go through it with him. So evidently, found out later, Mike had asked Peter. Peter brought up God, and so they got into this conversation. So Mike said, well, Peter, would you mind if I shared a little booklet with you about God and how you can know him in a more personal way? And Peter goes, well, as long as it doesn't take an hour or something. And Mike said, it takes about 5 minutes, 6 minutes. Peter goes, well, okay, sure. So Mike runs up. Kathy had one. He comes back down, and he goes through the whole booklet. He just read it, and then he asked Peter, now, Peter, do you understand this? And Peter said, yeah. He got to the end of the book, he said, now, Peter, would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? Peter said, yeah, I would. Then Micah, my 11-year-old, he said, now, Peter, he said, before we do this, he said, I want you to know, there's no going back on this decision. Once he's in you, he's in you. I mean, you're his forever. Peter's eyes get kind of big, and he goes, oh, all right. Micah said, well, here's what we'll do. I'll pray, and then you can pray after me. He said, okay. So they pray, and Peter gets in praying. He goes, no, Micah, he says, please don't tell your whole family. I don't want them coming out to me, out in the driveway and going, way to go, Peter. All right. He said, because he knew what he did. And then he said, and I don't know if I'm going to tell my mom right now or my brother and sister. And Micah said, yeah, that's all right. So we've been real cool. And okay, so here's my 11-year-old, who quite frankly, I'm really not sure. We've never gone through this as a family. Okay, family, tonight I'm going to teach you all how to go through the four law booklet. We've never done that. He's certainly come with me to a lot of conferences I've done, and he must have just picked it up, but I was stunned. When I came home, all of us were just like, whoa, Micah! Believe it or not, I named him Micah Joel because I wanted a little prophet. And none of my other kids did this at 11 years old. They did not do this at 11 years old. This is pretty amazing. The reason I share that is because, you know what? That's what The Rock's all about. That's what really Christianity is all about, is sharing the Lord Jesus with other people, sharing the good news. And you know what? If an 11-year-old can do it, you can do it. All it takes, my Micah, he's not, well, he is pretty intelligent, but he didn't know all this stuff about the Bible. Okay? Most of you here know more and are more articulate than my 11-year-old. But the one thing he had going for him is courage and love. He cared about Peter. And he really knew that Peter needed the Lord. And he waited. He just befriended him. They played Nintendo. They ran around with the dog together. Micah took care of his dog. They went bike riding together. He had me take them a couple places together. Micah was always trying to just extend kindness. Now what's happened is all the other boys, well, there's all these boys in the neighborhood. They're all younger than Micah, and they all look up to Micah. So every day they're knocking on the door. Is Micah here? Can Micah come out? Is Micah here? I mean, like four or five of them every single day. So, you know, he's just kind of roaming the neighborhood with this little gang of little boys that I'm serious. That so one day maybe we'll have a service at the home and we'll play a few songs and let Micah preach and give him some holy water and stuff like that. Anyway, I just was really, we were all challenged by that as a family. My daughter went over. My daughter, Jessica, some of you know Jessica. She comes here. And Jessie's just kind of one of those huggy, lovey kind of people. People just, I don't know why, but they just open up to her. Older people, like 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds. And so the other day she goes over to see Peter's mom. And she bought some shampoo. She gets a discount from the salon she works at. So she got this for her and she brought it over. And Twa, this is this woman's name, she just went off and she said, you know, Jesse, she goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. My hand hurt and my kids not, they not do what I say. And my oldest daughter, Yen, she want car, but I cannot afford car. Father give nothing. He give nothing. And Jesse told me, she said, Dad, I just almost started crying. Just right there. I mean, all Jesse did was be kind. And the next thing you know, she's telling Jesse her whole life story. And so we just, you know, when she told me that, we just kind of bowed our heads together and we prayed. And we asked God to work in Yen's life. She's going to St. Ben's. She told Jesse that she was made fun of in high school all the time for the way she talked, for being a short Vietnamese girl. But she loves St. Ben's. She feels like, you know, she can talk to the nuns all the time and everybody's her family. But she wants a car. So we're trying to think, well, maybe we can do something. Maybe we can, I don't know what we can do. But you know, I'm just illustrating this to let you know that all of us can involve ourselves in the lives of somebody else. They need a little love. They need a little care. They need a little tenderness. And we've emphasized to Twa that anytime you need anything, Twa, anything, you let us know. You let us know. You need a ride, you need your car worked on, or you need a child taken somewhere, you need to go to the doctor. In the morning she came over, it was 5:30 in the morning, pounded on the door, and I got up and found my way to the door, and she was holding these jumper cables up. And you know what was really ironic about the whole story? Was that the night before, Kathy doesn't usually do this to me, this was really weird. We were driving home, and she goes, Mark, she reached out and grabs my hand. She goes, Mark, I really want us to sit down with someone together, and I want to be with you, and I want you to share the gospel with them. I go, well, I do that all the time, kid. I do that for a living, and I don't really want to do it like that. That's what I was thinking. You know, that's weird. And she goes, well, I want us to do it with Twa and her children. So you know, it's always delicate when a wife asks you these kind of things. You got to be very delicate, you know, and how you present your side. And you can't go like, that's really dumb. That's really tacky. So I said, sweetheart, I said, listen, Twa's a really devout Catholic, and she knows I'm a pastor, so don't you think it might seem a little awkward if I try to do that? But I said, I'll tell you what, I will try to serve their family. I will try to reach out to them, and let's pray for them. She said, okay. Then the very next day, her battery died. And I get to do this, and I really groove on that personally, because I find it's a very easy way to get to know someone and reach out to them. And I want to encourage you to practice random acts of kindness. I was in a restaurant about 8 years ago. And I was, it just sat down and I was going to read my paper and then do some preparation, which I don't usually do at a restaurant. I'm not really sure why I was going to do it, but I just ended up there. This mother walks in. She's got about 7 children. And I don't know if they were all hers. They were fairly rowdy. You can imagine 7 children under 6. So she comes walking in, they're noisy, and they sit down right across from me. And she's trying to calm me down, and I can tell, quite frankly, you just know this when you get to be a dad, that this woman is frazzled. And she said, Johnny, sit down. Samantha, sit down. I've got to go get your food. And of course, she's going to have to stand in line. It was lunch hour. And, you know, who's going to watch all these little kids? Well, she's in line. If you ever try to stand in a McDonald's line with seven kids, you'll understand. So I'm watching this, and I thought, you know, I need to do something. So I walked over, and I said, excuse me, ma'am. I said, my name's Mark, and I'm a pastor. And the reason I said that is because I wanted her to be able to trust me. See? So I said, I noticed that you got seven children here, and you're trying to get something to eat. If you'd like, I would be glad to entertain these kids while you get something to eat, you know, for them. She goes, you're kidding. I said, no, you know, I have children, and I have four, and this is only three more, and I think I can handle this. So she leaves, and I took one of her toys, and I'm going, Mommy, Mr. Bill. You know, I'm just trying to do my entertainment routine. And she comes back later on, and I think it took about 10 or 15 minutes, and she came back, and she thanked me profusely, and I said, it's no problem. I'm glad to do it. Well, I left that day, and about a year later, this woman came to Evergreen, and she came up to me after the service. She said, Mark, she said, you don't know me. My name is so-and-so, but you know one of my best friends. My best friend's name is Mary. I said, okay, well, I don't know Mary. Well, let me tell you the story. She repeated the story. Remember McDonald's? I said, oh, yeah, sure I do. She said, my friend Mary hates God and hates pastors and churches. One day I was telling her about this new church I was going to, Evergreen, because I had mentioned I pastored Evergreen. And Mary's eyes got really big. She said, Evergreen? And she said, yeah, and Pastor Mark, I know that guy. He helped me. You know what? I always wanted to know what church you went to, because the first time in all my life, I actually thought, now that might be a place I'd like to go. One day my children and I were in we were just in the grocery store. And these things don't take anything to do, but they can turn a person's life around. And Celeste and Jesse and I, they were quite younger, and we were waiting in the line for food. Not for food, but to pay for our groceries. So, because I used to do all the grocery shopping for my wife as a way to serve her and a way just to hang with my little girls, come with me, and so we just do it together. So we're standing in this line, and this kind of stuff's really hard for me. There's a mother in front of me. She's got this baby, and the baby's kind of fussing. I think the baby was about 8 months old. And the next thing I know, puke everywhere. It just shoots out, you know, the projectile smelly kind. And it goes all over her, and I jump, just missed me, you know. It's all on the floor. And now that kind of stuff makes me want to vomit. I can deal better with diarrhea than vomit. I don't know about you, but trust me, if you know how to use disposable diapers, you don't get any on you. You just wipe, fold, and you don't get anything. But vomit is another matter. So I'm thinking to myself, of course, what the old guy Mark would have done was just simply, backed out the cart, gone down five rows away from the aroma, and just paid for my groceries and left. But I thought to myself, you know, Lord, what would you do? And you'd probably heal the child. I can't do that, so and just make the vomit disappear. So I deployed my little troops. I said, okay, Jesse, run to the bathroom, get a bunch of wet paper towels and a bunch of dry ones, okay? Celeste, this baby was not like a little baby. It was old enough to like have 7-Up. So I said, okay, run over and get some 7-Up for the baby. So she brings it back, and Jesse brings the stuff back, and we start trying to clean it up. And actually, I think they started to try to clean it up. And I was organizing the work crew, okay? All right? I thought of the whole thing. So the mother, she just stands, she goes, I don't believe you're doing this. I said, well, you know, I have children, obviously. And, of course, my children never do that kind of stuff, but I'm teasing. And she wanted to pay me for the pop. I said, you don't have to pay me for the pop. I'm like, my goodness, it was 50 cents. I said, I'm just sorry your baby's sick. Now, imagine how many opportunities all of us at any time. I've been in gas stations where someone will come up and they're a dollar short. Well, holy smoke. What is a dollar? Here, let me give you. You can have my dollar. Can you imagine if The Rock got known for that? I remember people were going, I don't know what's going on around this city, but when I go somewhere, you know, I was short a dollar. This kid behind me pulls out a dollar and gives it to me. Handing me a Rock card at the same time. You don't have to do that, but you could. practice random acts of kindness. Jesus practiced random acts of miracles. I wish we could. We can't. Kindness in our world is perceived as a miracle. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm getting at? It's so important to remember all the time what our mission is, why we're here, and be on task and be on mission. It might be a smile. It might be a thank you. It might be, frankly, if I can say this because we have a couple of waiters and waitresses here tonight, always make sure you leave a good tip. You know, like, usually if I have a $10 or $12 bill, I leave $4. I mean, that's just me. Now, maybe that doesn't seem like a lot to you, but it seems like a lot to me for 10 bucks. Sometimes even when I go through a buffet, you know, and I'm waiting on myself, basically, I'll leave something at the table. Another thing, if I could comment, when you rockers go out, some of you go out 20, 30 at a time, please, please, please make sure that you left your amount of money for your food so that the few people, the last ones left, don't get stuck with a $40 bill like happened last week. Please don't do that, okay? And then make sure that you leave a tip for the people that are there. Because I have a friend. He lives in Kansas City. He's a pastor. What?
Don't forget tax.
Yeah, right. Don't forget tax.
That makes your bill go down real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, because then the waitresses have to pay it, right? You get stuck with it. Okay. All right. Hey, if you could, like, leave a tip for the pastor, too, on the way when you go out tonight, because, you know, my services were something, I'm sure. Maybe a quarter or 50 cents or not teasing. My friend, he pastors this church in Kansas City called Lee Summit. And after the service, there's this one restaurant where a lot of people go at church. And one day he overheard a bunch of waitresses talking about these pathetic church people. They come in here and they're loud and they're obnoxious and it's blah, 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 and they're so demanding and they want this and they want that and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so he went to his church next week and he shared on this. He said, folks, he said, you know, we're trying to win people in this community. And it's come to my attention. He said, I'm not going to name names because I don't know who. He said, it could have even been me. I've been in that restaurant before. But he said, when we go there, we want to be an example of Christ's love and Christ's kindness. This doesn't mean you can't laugh, have a great time, and move around. Because, you know, I mean, you are paying the bill. But that doesn't give you free reign of the facility. That doesn't give us the right to interfere with other people. And it doesn't give us the right to abuse the help. Okay? Now, sometimes people are overly sensitive, and you might look at the situation and go, God, we didn't abuse them at all. We said thank you. Every single person said thank you. And in fact, we waited 45 minutes for them to get to our table. That can happen, too. But just remember, if they may be having a pretty bad day, someone they love may just have died, they may have just broken up with their boyfriend or significant other, or they simply may not know the Lord and not know at all what it means to have the joy of Christ in their life. We have to try. You know what I'm saying? We have to try, and it will make a difference in people's lives. And the rock's reputation will spread, and as a result, Christ's reputation will spread. I remember years ago, Greg and I and a bunch of other students, this is when he was a student, we used to go to Arnold's by the U of M. Okay, after our meetings, we go to Arnold's. And one night we were in there, and we were just having a fantastic time. We were laughing. This waitress comes up. She goes, you know, I got to tell you something. She said, I get drunk people in here all the time. I get all these other kind of people. She said, but you guys have been coming in for like the last month. You are the light of my life. You come in here, you're so much fun, and yet it's never filthy or vile, and you're never obnoxious in a bad way. And frankly, all I want to do is just kind of wait on your table and hang around it. That's the kind of reputation that we want to spread, you know, that we want to leave. And be open, you know, maybe you're not being the best testimony, maybe a friend will come to you and say, hey, you could improve a little bit, and be open to hearing that. You know, I've certainly had people tell me that. I can certainly grow in my life. But remember, brother and sister, what we're about. If we remember this, when you go, some of you go over to Pasquale's after the service on Saturday night. Okay? It's a great little restaurant. They got great food. Let our light shine over there. Leave the rock cards. Leave money on the table. Thank the people that help you. If you go up the road to Sydney's, or you go up the road to Old Chicago, or you head over to Grandma's, or wherever it is we're going to go, some of you go down to Fridays. Leave a light. Remember that. Leave an aroma that was fragrant. Okay? All right. That's all I have to share with you tonight. Let's bow our heads. And let's Let's ask the Lord, brothers and sisters, to really use us, to really use our lives, to really make us a light to others, and to make us a fragrant aroma to lost people and to each other. Remember that the Bible tells us this. It says, do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. That doesn't mean we're not kind to others, but it's a little bit like this. You know, when my family needs something, I'll move hell and high water to get it for them. If the neighbor four doors down needs something, well, I might care, but I'd probably put my family first. Make sure that you're going out of your way for your brother and sister. Some of you are roommates. Make sure you're going out of your way for each other. Make sure that that fragrant aroma is spreading to your households and to your brothers and sisters in the small groups. And let your light shine with each other. And then for sure, it's going to shine in the lost world. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the love of Christ that's been shed abroad in our hearts. We want to thank you, Lord, that you gave your very best for us. We think, Lord, of Zacchaeus, as you walk down the road and you look under the tree, this little short guy, this evil tax collector is what he was. He was crooked and he took people's money in a wrong way. And you said, hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'd like to spend a day at your house. And as a result of your involvement with him, your association with him, he came to know Christ and his life changed. We think, Lord, of the woman who pushed her way through the crowd, who had been bleeding for most of her life, weak and frail and probably very unkept with filthy clothes. And she touched your garment and you healed her. We think, Lord, of the blind man Bartimaeus who begged, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And his friend said, oh, shut up, shut your mouth. And he screamed louder. And you said, what would you have me do for you? What can I do for you? Heavenly Father, help us to be people like Christ, who are like the Good Samaritan, who allow ourselves to be bothered, to be inconvenienced by the simple needs that other people have in their lives. Help us, Lord, to use the income that we have. We might have a little extra this week. It might be $5. It might be $10. To win friends for ourselves, as it says in Luke 16, so that when our money fails, they'll welcome us into heaven because we used our money either maybe to buy them a bagel, to take them to lunch, to take them to a movie. And as a result of our friendship, they came to Christ. That's an eternal investment. Father, I just want to thank you for what you're doing at The Rock. It really is an extraordinary work. It's your thing. Thank you for these people because The Rock's about these people and their extraordinary young men and women. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for their commitment. Thank you for their love for you. God, we just ask you that you would be reflected in us more, that you would glorify yourself in us more, and that we would have a gigantic impact on this city for Jesus Christ. That in the years to come, there would be thousands of men and women at our Rock services, singing to God, learning about God, and those thousands reaching out to thousands of others of their friends who did not know Christ. Bless us, Lord. We're not afraid to ask you to bless us. Give us 500 and beyond in October and November. Continue to build this meeting. Fill our small groups to capacity and change people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.